pizza.
Okay, folks, thanks for all making it here. We'll call the meeting back to order at 7:23. Just a couple of other announcements before we get started with the rest of the meeting. First off, thanks all for your cooperation and participation in that presentation. It was great that we could have that there to allow some more students to hear it and participate. So thank you. Couple other procedural housekeeping notes. If you haven't already, you should go check out the sixth floor because Governance Center is up and running, and we've been talking about how to utilize the council space, and Discover Governance is up there, so you should go introduce yourself to them. As well, you'll note that Nicole couldn't make it tonight. She's recovering. She wasn't feeling all well. By the way, I mentioned this in the meeting, but mad props for Nicole's help from putting the agenda together from home Friday so that we could be here. So thanks to her. But because she's not here, just make sure you're speaking loudly so that she can pick it up on the recording. Also, just a note, because this has come up regarding council food. There were some concerns raised in the past regarding whether there was enough vegetarian items and other items that are sort of to deal with dietary restrictions. So just try and make sure that if you don't have a dietary restriction, that in the first round around that you're not taking items that are for dietary restrictions. And we'll try and better sort of indicate what those are. Once everyone's gone through once before, if you really like that item, then you can come back once we've made sure everyone's been fed. But we just want to make sure that everyone is able to be fed. So with that, we will continue on in our items of business. Of course, we deal with nominations immediately following presentations, and we have two on the agenda tonight. Item 7A, Grahan moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the APERC Board of Directors. Is Councillor Grahan here?
No.
No. Would anyone else care to move that particular item? Governor Kelly, seconded by Councillor Patel. Thank you very much. Governor Kelly, are you able to introduce, or did you want to introduce at all? Surprise.
I understand that this would be a motion to appoint a councillor to serve as one of the councillors on the APERC Board of Directors. This, as per precedent, all SU APERC again is in SUDFU, so the precedent is that a councillor, a member of council, one at least of which sits on the DFU boards. So pretty straightforward. I actually served on the APERC Board myself previously, so I guess if you have questions, I believe Councillor
Any questions before we open the floor to nominations? Councillor Bannister?
Sorry, I just have to finish my food. I don't know if this is entirely inappropriate, but would it be okay if Councillor Grehan was also the council representative, just because he already attends the meetings and there currently seems like we've already had two people resign from the position?
Sorry, I'm taking this as a point of parliamentary inquiry. So, I forget which bylaw, 6,000, 3,000? Vice President Lake. I'm just going to dig it up here. Give me one moment here. I believe there is a clause somewhere, I'm trying to find exactly where it is, that indicates that there is to be a representative seat on each of those boards. Of course, if it goes unfilled, it goes unfilled. There's a certain, I'm going to use my favorite word, the idea behind the appointee from Students' Council is that they then hold, in addition to their responsibilities, their fiduciary responsibilities as a board member, they also hold fiduciary responsibility back to Students' Council in terms of the body's activities. Does anyone else, if you sort of want to debate without debating and rise on a point of parliamentary inquiry or provide information or something, anyone, Councillor Mohammed? Yes.
If the councillor serves on the board anyways, like, have they not served on that position?
They would, like, from our perspective, council is the one that would appoint the council appointee. If this person already served on the board, it would be up to the board's rules as to whether they could serve in a dual capacity. It would seem unusual to me that they would get two votes or anything like that, but if they were appointed by council to a board, then they would have the responsibility to council to report and hold that fiduciary responsibility back to council. Sort of what their role is outside of council is sort of irrelevant to that conversation, if that makes sense. Councillor Hodgson?
Parliamentary?
Yeah.
Maybe just try to clarify this.
Sure.
It's really a question of hats. So I sit on two DFU boards. When I'm there, I represent the DFU's interest, obviously, but I'm also there to represent council's interest to the DFU, to keep the council representation, since they deal with a large amount of money. I'm also there to represent council and students' interest. So from a dual appointment of someone that already sits on the board, it kind of doesn't necessarily align with that. Additionally, with the conflict of interest bylaw that we are amending, I think there would be some issues when we ask that in second reading.
Awful use of appointed parliamentary inquiry, but great way to answer the question. So thank you. Councillor Patel, do you want to... I mean, this is... We informally have a practice at Students' Council, and actually it's going to be... I'm permitted to deviate where it's customary. There's a section of Robert's Rules called Customs, which basically allows us to follow customs, even if they're sort of unwritten rules. We have a custom at Students' Council of permitting people to ask questions, and then people who are on the committee or that are familiar with the committee for the nomination to answer questions before we nominate, and it makes sense to do so. So this is why we're sort of allowed to loosely answer questions, even though we're not in debate. Councillor Patel, did you want to
answer? Yeah, I just wanted to mention that being on the paper in the past, Councillor Graham's position is quite unique because he is a staff liaison, so that would create even more conflict of interest if he were to be taking these two positions, and if it were any other position on the interim board, it may have been possible, but definitely not the one he holds right now.
And to sort of further answer your question, it's probably not appropriate for us to try and make this evaluation, basically determine an evaluation on Councillor Grayhand's behalf. He's not here to make this sort of evaluation. So, with that, any further questions before we open the floor to nominations? Seeing none, we will open the floor to nominations. Nominations to the APIRB board. Councillor Nguyen?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Zhang.
Councillor Zhang, do you accept?
Yeah.
No? You respectfully decline. Any further nominations? Governor Kelly?
Nominate President Kuzmu.
President Kuzmu? Kuzmu respectfully declines. Again, I would discourage on the fly sort of surprise nominations. If you want to go point at somebody and ask if they want to go, then yes, Councillor Pitcher.
Would it be appropriate for an executive to represent council?
I believe, and I wish I could find the section of bylaw here, but I believe it just asks for a member of students council. So executives are members of students council. Their appropriateness. Beyond that would just be determined basically, I guess, by a vote if there were multiple nominees. But I don't believe they're ineligible to serve.
Point of inquiry?
Yes, Councillor Speakman.
Can we nominate other people later if it goes unfilled tonight?
Right. If it goes unfilled tonight, I mean, we just close nominations and nothing happens. If someone so chose, they could put it back on the order paper another night. And if we had nominations then it would go filled then at that point. So we can't sort of force nominate. So, last chance for nominations.
Point of parliamentary.
Yes, Vice President Lau.
How would I ask, or who would I ask, whether or not this is time
sensitive? I mean, I'll just throw that out there as a question because I don't have specific knowledge of that. So, Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the time sensitive issue, the only thing would be audit standing orders require that the DFU representative be present at the meeting when we approve them, but we'll just suspend standing orders.
Governor Kelly, did you want to add anything?
No, I was going to nominate.
Okay, yep, go ahead.
Councillor Zhang.
Councillor Zhang, do you accept? Yes. You accept? Okay. further nominations? Going once, going twice. Is that a nomination?
Oh, no, sir.
All right, with that, we'll close nominations. Congratulations, Councillor Zane. Okay, with that, we move on to item 7B. Patel moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Policy Committee. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Thank you, Councillor Mills. Councillor Patel, do you have an introduction? Could you also outline meeting dates, times?
We meet off council Tuesdays at 6 o'clock.
Okay. Any further questions for Councillor Patel? Seeing none, we'll open the floor to nominations. Any nominations to Policy Committee? Governor Kelly?
Councillor Mohammed.
Councillor Mohammed? Do you accept?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Councillor Champagne?
I'm sorry, I don't know his last name. Kylie?
Councillor Morris?
I respect.
Okay. Further nominations? Vice President Chellen?
Councillor Bannister.
Councillor Bannister?
Peer pressure ice up.
Okay. Further nominations? Going once, going twice. Closed. Okay, so we will close nominations. We have two names, Councillor Mohammed and Councillor Bannister. We have one position, so we'll do the old give your spiel, and then we'll take a vote. So again, I'll give each of you about actually exactly 30 seconds to give your spiel, and then we'll take a vote. Just give me 1 second here. I knew I fired this computer up for a reason. Okay, Councillor Mohammed, go ahead.
Yes, I was talking to you, Councillor Patel, about the appeals process policy. I haven't been able to get in touch with you yet, but I really want to work on this policy and get it to council. I think being on the committee will be a better way to get it done instead of trying to take the arms business away. So that's my rationale behind why we're on the policy.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Bannister?
Hi. So I'm very reliable, so I can always go to the meetings. I have audit committee right before it, so I'll already be in the room. I typically have good judgment, so I think I could help. And I'm very detail-oriented, which is good with policy-like things. Anyway, I'm getting advice from all around me. It's very stressful. And that is all.
Thank you. Okay, so we will do our usual voting mechanism. Just because we've got a few guests in the room, every member of council, do you all have your placards? Raise your hand if you don't have your placard with you, just so I know who to look for. First of all, shame on you. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so we've got a couple of... Okay, so I know who we've done. So we do a heads-down, placards-up process, and just to maintain the privacy and so on, I just ask our guests to also put their heads down. Unfortunately, you can't vote, but you can participate in the fun of being part of the process of being here while it happens. So if you just... Everybody wants to put their heads down. Again, you only get one vote with this. If you wouldn't mind putting your head down as well, just... Yeah, thank you. Councillor Mohammed, raise your placard if you want to cast your vote for Councillor Mohammed. Okay, some people sort of have their placards half up, half down, so set it on the table if you don't want it, and put it all the way up if you do. Thank you. Placards down. And all those for Councillor Bannister. Sorry, placards up for Councillor Bannister. Thank you. Placards down. Okay, congratulations to Councillor Mohammed. With that, we move on to... We we move back into the regular point in our agenda. So we move on to executive committee reports. Any executive members wishing to report? Vice President Chellen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sorry, Council, I just want to provide an oral update in case you missed it. Just off story that my report was late, just been busy for weeks. But in case you haven't noticed, there's lawn signs around all of our campuses, main campus and as well as Hackett and Technical Center and Campus St. Jean. On behalf of the Council of Faculty Association, that this commonly held myth and fact about students in each of our 14 undergraduate faculties. So in each of the faculties represented by counselors around the table, the objective is to build a sense of unity on campus, and in particular during a time of differential cuts, to emphasize that we are, in essence, all in it together, but also to provide for some valuable marketing for our faculty associations around campus. So if you have a chance to share things on social media, that would be fantastic for your faculty association.
Thank you. President Kuzman.
Hi, Council. Quick oral update and an additional piece of news. That's not a piece of my report. So in regards to Fall Reading Week, Dustin and I have been putting a lot of hours into this. Right now, we've been focusing a lot of our attention on the Academic Staff Association and seeing if they're willing to come on board. We've also been talking a lot to the Dean of Students, so that's been really interesting. In regards to the budget cuts, I attended the President's roundtable discussion yesterday. It was super interesting. Some of the points that I raised was essentially greater transparency, increased consultation, and the university needs to figure out a response to these talks about executive salaries. You know, whether you think it's too high or not, there needs to be a proper response to it. There's a lot of potential to that. International students, reminder, we're going to be having our town hall Friday, October 18th at 6 o'clock. I have a lot of stuff on the residences in my report as well. Essentially, there's going to be rent increases as normal. I have some news on hub security issues, and we also received a report from Resident Services on an evaluation of the 2013 Lister changes that they made. How much time do I have? 1 minute?
Yep.
Okay, sorry. And another thing is for the letters of expectations, for those of you who are at GFC, one of the amendments that I made to the university letter of expectation, I got passed actually in one of the board committees by one vote. So I kind of, so hopefully someone doesn't remove that amendment at the board when it gets approved. And a quick update is, at this time next year, we'll be having a new president, and the search committee will be struck in a couple of weeks, essentially. Right now, they're just looking for search consultants, I guess. So that's just a quick update on things over the past 2 weeks.
Thank you. Any other executives wishing to give reports? Okay, we will continue on to board and committee report. President Kuzma?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Adam's at the mayoral forum of today, so I just wanted to keep you folks posted. It started at 7.
Thank you. Board and committee reports. Any committee chairs wishing to make an oral report? No? Okay, we will continue.
Yes.
Oh, Councillor Speakman?
Yeah, just because I think it'll boost morale because we had an awesome meeting for Earth last time we met. There was full attendance. We had a lot of stuff done. Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. We started a trend, Councillor Hutch.
I don't know why I did
that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just something quick to audit. The SU's audit is now complete. The auditors will be presenting to the audit committee next Tuesday at 5 p.m. in 7608. So if you want to come and listen to the auditors explain this stuff, I had a meeting today. It was just like my jam. I loved it. It was super fun. So if you want to come listen and explain like how the SU's audit went, I'll be giving a presentation to council as well, but you know, it's better to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Thank you. Councillor Binchick?
Yes, so SCAT is now in full swing, and we had an amazing first meeting. I even made a Facebook post about it. So. Awesome applause. Because it is in the comedy, some of you may not be aware when we are meeting. We are meeting on off-council Thursdays by weekly at 6 p.m., and we are meeting at SAP at 6th floor. So if you wish to join us, it's amazing. We really look into what we can do to improve council's visibility and inclusivity. So yeah, you're all welcome, and I hope to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other board and committee chairs? Okay. We will move to question period. So the floor is open. Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for President Kuzma. What was the amendment you made?
Excellent. President Kuzmin. Just keep your placards up until I acknowledge you, so I've got... No. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The amendment that I made to the letters of expectations, essentially I wanted them to reference attributes and competencies as something that they value. So it was something along the lines that the University of Alberta will prepare its students with the attributes and competencies needed to be a global citizen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's surprising how contentious three words can be, static three words of life is expectation, but it ended up passing. So.
Point of information?
Yeah.
Was this the motion you had shot down at GFC? Or was it
No.
That one was over the word increase.
Yes, yeah. So that was one word. Three words that you had. The motion that I got shot down at GFC was increasing student participation in governance. And that was an awesome experience. So.
Thank you. Councillor Mills?
Yes, I have a question. I'm not too sure which exec it's for. It might be either Josh or William. So I'm going to direct it at Adam. So my question is regarding student group services. So over the past couple months, I've heard some concerns from student groups regarding their student group status approval or just other issues with student group services. And then I've also talked with my friend who works in student group services to find out kind of what's going on. And from my understanding, it was a lack of training on new hires at around a really different time, and they're still backlogged even now with student group stuff. So I'm just wondering if this has been brought to your attention, and what can be done moving forward to get these student groups approved at a faster rate so that they can be
Vice President Lau, President Kuzmin.
I'll just say a couple words, and then these two can proper decisions for what's answering. But in regards to student group services, I have been hearing a lot of concerns as well from my own friends. But I'm really glad to see that you're raising this in council, so that way I can think about the exec committee and we'll talk further about it. In terms of what happened to the student group services this year, There's, I'd say, three things that are just kind of things that normally wouldn't happen. All of student groups, student services for the SU kind of reshuffled their space due to some renovations. The student group services manager essentially is covering, has got a promotion because one of the other managers is on mat leave right now. So with that, that meant that there's three new hires for student group services. And in combination with the move and the moving of SGS staff, I guess that created like a not favorable situation essentially with student groups. So that's from my understanding, but we'll follow up at exec and try to get more information from you. William, I think, has some information about it last week. I don't know if Josh will, but William, you can go first.
Yeah, I think first off is, again, I'm really glad you brought it up because it's something we can compare to the first day. At a stage like this, it's really hard to see what, I guess, systematic policies would be made for this right here. Especially because, like, if we brought someone new on board, then our staff would have to spend time training them for their actual administration. And it's hard to say, like, how, right now, I believe we still have over 100 registrations backlog. So that's a kind of, like, an idea of how much work there is left. One thing to add to added workload to it, is that student groups could essentially register at any time of the year. And more importantly, most groups do register over the summer. But for some reason, this summer, they marked most of the registrations coming in between mid-July to mid-August. So it's something that student group services never really expected, because usually they do a lot of registrations in the beginning of summer. But for some reason, they all came in at once. And have close to 400 registrations come in at once. They had to deal with a second problem, which was into the instructions to student groups for registration. They've made some changes to its constitutional requirements, which requires every student group to go back and change their constitution. What I'm hearing from a lot of student groups is that they say, why didn't our registration pass? Our constitution has always been passed. Meaning that they haven't read the instructions, which would have notified them that they had to make some changes to their constitutions for this year. And that's causing them a backlog because now, rather than just going through a registration to approve it, there has to be at least two more, I guess, emails sent back and forth, notifying the group to change the constitution and then waiting for the resubmission. So that's an additional step there. I guess when we look at what we're working on to kind of change the system then, to prevent this going on again in the future years, one thing is that with the procedure policy changes that are coming up, registration for student groups is going to be almost narrowed down to a time frame that's post-elections. So student groups are going to be encouraged to re-register after their elections. So some groups are going to then register in January, some are going to register in the summer if they have elections in March. And this is going to better stagger up the election for the registration cycle. It's also going to force then new execs to be more familiar with the constitution, and they'll be the ones submitting the application, which is a lot more beneficial than student groups or executives starting their role in May and then not having to deal with registration until like so that's one thing that's going to be changed. Secondly, we're also considering perhaps some reallocations, and there'll be a long discussion here. That's
it. Okay, thank you. Councillor Speakman.
I think my question is related, but this is the first time I've heard of it. So my question is for ZP Lau about in your report saying the changes in writing to the student group procedural changes. Is there anything we can do so that it's not put unilaterally in the hands of the Office of the Dean of Students and whoever the Associate Vice President of Risk Management is?
Yeah, I believe there are a few things we can do. I can't really see an ongoing discussion because there's a pretty tight timeline for it. We're going to have a presentation from Norma, the student affairs officer, and the student officer, which is on the 2nd of October. But hopefully, before that presentation, we'll have a good idea of how the IRS set out. So that, because every time they take in feedback, they have to redraft it, they have to bring it to the legal counsel to make sure it's okay. And the timeline for this right now is essentially that they have to have their proposed draft ready for the Council Review Committee in November. So that gives us just about a month's time to make sure that we can get all our feedback and draft it up and still have it in time for everything. So that does put a pretty tight timeline on that. And right now, one of the issues we are looking at most closely is how to have a stronger voice when it comes to student use registration. It's been something that's been taken off and it's pretty heavily by our staff right now, so our advocacy committee, or our advocacy department, as well as our general manager, is getting really heavily involved in this. The one miscommunication that happened in the past 2 years is that the Dean of Students Office has been working really closely with our services and see these changes as administrative changes that would increase efficiencies. But unfortunately, I'd say over the past 2 weeks, it's the first time that we've taken a more political view at it, rather than like administrative.
That's
quite
information. So who makes the sort of decisions so far? Is it like collaborative between office or is it student groups?
So in the meantime, administrative decisions in regards to administration of a student group is pretty much in the hands of the student office right now. Except it could be appealed. It could be appealed to the university appeals board, which is a process that takes a bit of time. I've had students in place around how long it takes for the appeals to go through. And I'm going to defer that to the vice president,
Okay, thank you. Governor Kelly.
Because this question is also for the Vice President Student Life. Just referring to your report, essentially, I guess the bottom of public transit, it says, I'm reading from the papers from the late edition. It says, the pushback account, the by-election of DSU, UPass, our president, referendum also pushed back. great district. So could you just talk a little bit more what that is about? So I think with the DSA, you'll be able to just get in there and agree for it. And, yeah, just what's the status of the new pass? You said turning that into action related to the new pass was a failure. Can you talk about that as well?
Sure.
Just talk a little bit more about that.
So two key parts there. One is the Dentistry Student Association, or UPass for Dentistry Students. The second would be the failure to provide people in the pilots discussed over the middle summer. So first off, dentistry students are in a unique situation because they don't register for spring summer courses. Their winter courses, which they register in January, actually go into the spring summer terms. Their term is more than 4 months, essentially. So that's caused problems because without a second registration, they haven't had to pay for a second pass, but they're still coming to campus throughout May, June, July, and sometimes a bit of August as well. So they raised that concern because they thought that a lot of their students came out to vote in the past elections for the spring summer UPass, thinking that they would get the spring summer UPass, and now they've been disappointed because they still weren't able to get it. So what happened there is we thought that it would be probably most comfortable with them second or third one just for the dentistry students. More specifically, so we can see if their students specifically want a spring summer UPass. So it's specific to the students enrolled in the Bronco Dental Surgery Program. And that election, for that election, the referendum would run along with the by-election. And that's something that we've been working on all summer. We hope to have that earlier, if the by-elections were earlier, but we can still work. The second piece with the failure to provide payment is a discussion that's been started this summer when law student Scott Meyer brought up the concern that he felt that it was really unfair to students as UPass holders that couldn't opt out of this fee to still be charged with a ticket if they're caught on an LRT without a UPass. Right? It's not the same as a regular citizen that doesn't have a bus pass. They could easily they could take that ticket, they could go buy a bus pass and say, oh, I've had the bus pass all along, I just forgot it. Right here, we're in a unique situation that's attached to student ID. We can't borrow a bus pass from someone else and say we had it. The fee payments show that our UPass is paid at a certain time. So it is dated, it's personalized, and probably that was something from the title. So essentially, Scott and myself went to work with the ETS and the transit security staff to talk through whether it was possible to make it amendments to the bylaw that would address our, I guess, unique demographics, and how this would also address or be a concern soon to students at Grand McAnee as well as the LRT learning standard. So current updates with that is, I'd say about a month ago, the city wrote a written response to us saying no. But we're seeing that as a barrier that might be able to be pushed a little bit. So with our October newsletter, we'll have a formal public release from the SU as well to address the response from the city. As well, Scott Meyer has been taking this for, actually, Leva Vici contacted Scott Meyer to talk about this issue, which is why Scott Meyer really wants to put a bit of pressure on us to release that public statement earlier, so that other candidates could have the same opportunity to address it. Unfortunately, our communication department has been so busy, and we see that the timeline with the October newsletter in the next few days should still be.
Thank you. Councillor Mohammed.
Yeah, this is the first vice president. Some of the presidents in the group right now, there's 12 groups ahead of us in the administration process. In the meanwhile, we've been unable to book groups for free, and I've been having to count my pockets for groups and stuff. So is there any way for the groups that are stuck in that process to get, like, have the ability to book groups so we can actually operate without the official status?
Yes. That's going to be a short answer. I know that Student Group Services currently has, I guess, a mechanism for that as well. If you went to them and say, I just really need this group book to fill out people's groups.
I called them and they said that's not on their own account. So,
but did you call exams on time given? Or did you call on
SGS?
SGS.
And that's confusing too.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know about all that stuff. But additionally to that too, if a student group contacted me and to raise a complaint, which I haven't received, I've done booking for them.
So is it possible to get reimbursed and give them
check. Sorry, I'm gonna stop you there. You're welcome to ask for another question now. Councillor Battelle. Okay, sorry, Councillor Battelle, I'm going to stop you there. You've snuck a few things in, but I'll certainly add your name to the list again as well. Vice President Lau?
I think that process rather than the bookings is the first time I've heard that student group services from, I guess, and that they affected that sometimes. So that's something I'll definitely go back to student group services about, because I do see this as an issue that probably persists for as for the timeline, I believe it'd be roughly a two-month window after your elections that you'd be required to re-register. You would still have your registration all along, so you wouldn't have a time where you lose your registration unless you don't re-register after, say, 2 months. And I'm like, point to my memory, it's a two-month timeline, but that's something I can clarify for you as well. As for a presentation for the student group changes, that's something I'd be interested in doing as well. We had a pretty long discussion about it at our last policy committee meeting, and I know it's something that does affect a lot of student groups. I guess one of the concerns that arose from a member of a student group about a month or two ago was that I felt that he was being insulted. When I brought this back to the Dean of Students office, they said actually they've been getting in touch with student groups. They've held focus groups last year. And this is a process they've been working with for the past 1 year. It's just unfortunate that it's been done, or they've been doing consultation with I guess, perhaps, I'm not going to say the wrong population, but not the entire population. They've been working with a lot of student groups that might not have problems with these smaller administrative changes. And they've been working with student group services who has a good really cool understanding of those procedures. But there was conversation regarding the political impact and the larger representative function of student groups and such.
Thank you. And with that, we've actually exceeded our first 15 minutes, so we'll close question period unless I see five placards to extend, which I do, so we'll extend till 8:16. Councillor Bannister.
Thank you. I have a question for President Kingsmill, switching things up over here. But in your last council report, you mentioned that you would be... Okay. In your last council report, you mentioned that you would be asking the Board of Governors about the potential relocation of the Departments of Interior Design as well as the School of Business. I was wondering if you would be able to share your findings and or results from that meeting with the
board. Yeah, sure. So a couple of things that makes it a little bit complicated is we had some of these, a lot of discussions in camera, which makes it really, really difficult for me to share publicly, so I'd have to make a motion to go in camera, which I'm not a fan of, but if you would like that, I guess see Happy Fingers?
Okay. You sure can. Here, I'll even pause your time for you. So, President Kuzmu makes a motion to move in camera. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Grulke, thank you very much. Just a reminder, so in camera sessions are basically closed sessions, so for that portion of the meeting, any guests will just have to sneak out while we're in camera, and anything that's discussed in here has to remain confidential and so on.
Point of inquiry?
Yes, Councillor Speakman. Okay, we ate up a lot of time procedurally with that, so I'm going to add about 7 minutes more on question period just to compensate. Councillor Benchik.
Hey, this is to Vice President Academic. So you talked about the campaign going on right now, and you mentioned how this will increase the visibility of the faculty associations. I've seen quite a few advertisements yourself, and I haven't really seen how those would showcase our faculty associations. They're mostly just generic facts about students in particular associations. And on that note, I also haven't seen anything about Students Council. So I was wondering, is there a possibility for us to be involved in this campaign as well? Is there a lot of misconceptions about Students Council? And especially going off of this CAT perspective, I would like some missed facts to be also revealed through the campaign about Students Council.
Vice President Chong?
Yeah, thank you for the question. I guess I'm being checked. In terms of whether or not it's an effective marketing method for faculty associations, I think that's up to interpretation. I would say the fact that the number one course of action based on those posters is leading people to the faculty association's website does indicate that it's an attempt to market faculty associations. Moreover, it includes the logo of every faculty association on there. But if you perceive that it didn't do the best job possible to market it, I'm happy to pass that back to our marketing department. That being said, it's the first time the has ever taken an attempt to market faculty associations collectively, and the first time we've ever funded the marketing of other faculty associations, which I think is really important for the representative bodies. How is it connected with the Students' Council and the Student Council Engagement Task Force? That's up to you to decide. I agree that councils would benefit from better marketing, but this project was funded by a project allocation, and the Executive Committee and the SCED Students' Council also have access to that for the funds, and how you have to use it is up to you. I look forward to hearing recommendations from the SCED on how you want to address misconceptions.
Thank you. Councillor Schimone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for President Kuzma. In your report, you talk about hub residents, I guess, security issues. So I was wondering if you could address both why that's really relevant, and also, Dan, it says you received a very lengthy report. If you could briefly summarize that.
Yeah, sure. We're talking about the resident services report.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So, the security report you said from...
So, the question student Councillor Schiavone has is for the hub mall security. I'll give you a backgrounder, and I'll tell you a little bit more about this report and some of the pushback that we got. Essentially, Hub Mall has something around like 50 stairwells, and they're not locked. And if you think about your average apartment or dorm or residence like Lister, or just hell, anywhere else in the city or the country for that matter, they're all locked. You always have to have like a key fob or a key just to get inside the building. It's not like that at Hub, and students have been raising a lot of concerns. Why? Because there's been experiences in the past where, let's say you would have people just simply sleep in the stairwells, who aren't necessarily students, people who smoke pot, people who would get sexually assaulted or sexually harassed. It was people didn't feel space, especially with the stairwells around the LRT station, because it's so public, there's a lot of traffic from, let's say, White Avenue to downtown and anywhere else. So people didn't feel safe in their own homes, and essentially that's been an issue for, gosh, 5+ years now. And the recommendation is like, well, why not have one car access in all these stairwells? Apparently it's really expensive. So the issue, it's like $2 million or something. So, so what I propose is why not just lock every door, all the stairwells, but have one or two of the doors, or three, one at the entrance, the middle, or the end, have one card access. So any student can still enter the building, right? If you don't live in Hub. And they're like, oh, it's expensive too. We have to refit these doors, et cetera. So what they're proposing is to change the locks of each of the residences so that it will, the lock automatically locks itself. So if you leave your room and you forgot your key, you've just locked yourself out. That's their solution for this. And it's cheaper, granted, but it's not necessarily addressing the issue. So this has been a consistent issue. It's something that I that William and I continue to raise with facilities and operations. And on top of that, William and I recently got an email from the student leaders in Hub being like, you know what, here's some more information about the Hub wall security issue. So they included statistics from their surveys on how people feel safe in their own residences, the history of them trying to get increased security in Hub, et cetera. So I didn't get a chance to read it in its entirety. I was actually in bed, and I skimmed through this entire Google Doc kind of reading it. That's pretty much it.
Thank you. Councillor Mohammed. Councillor Battelle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was just going to ask, or I guess make a comment on Vice President Lai's information about the UPass.
Could you phrase your comment in a question? Okay. It's like Jeopardy.
So if students can't opt out of the UPass, then would it automatically be implied that if they're a student at the U of A, then they pay for it, and therefore, if it is shown, I mean, they're still a student, so they pay for it already. They might have found their one card or whatever, but they're still students, so they really should be, they apply for it. I don't know if my logic is right.
That's a great question. So the thing is, there are some students that go on to walk, for example, that are able to opt out. So the majority of students can opt out. There's another rule that's a less soft rule. It says if you live 80 kilometers outside the center bed, then you opt out. That's obviously outside the service area. Where this comes into a lot of conflict is one is with the UPass agreements that we've signed with the city. And secondly, then with the city bylaw. So the city bylaw, they want to make sure there's mutual efforts from the university as well as, I guess, the city, make sure that we're reminding our students to bring in UPass. Right, like the UPass has been implemented for a reason, and I'll add a third factor there too, is that this issue is somewhat time sensitive too, because we're already looking at smart cards for 2016. So I guess from the city's perspective too, to spend all these resources right now on all the tests, that's almost for sure, at least all within 2 years. They're not sure if it was the most effective way to do this. Right now we've proposed a few of, like middle grounds that we could reach. For example, even having almost like an appeal step in the middle, where a student, after receiving their ticket, could send in, say, a fax with their web card that shows that they passed, and be able to cancel their ticket and stuff. So we are being pretty practical and pretty understanding of the city's perspective while we're both at it in the occur. They did initially request statistics on it. Let's see if we can figure out how many of these cases take place. So if it's only like 10 cases a year, then it wouldn't be too much of a burden for staff. Except while we were trying to find some of these stats over that time, we sent it to the have all the records. And then I guess we did the week after that, we sent it to their written response. So with that, there's a lot of controversy there, even within, people that live in the city. Since it's a citywide issue, it also was what are people going to think if now university students can get on a bus without bringing their new pass or their bus pass as a university from the alone, and not be fine when everyone else is fine. So, you know, also, you know,
thank you. And with that, we've again exceeded our additional 15 minutes. Additional extensions beyond the first one require a motion and a two-thirds majority vote. So if you wanted, if anyone was interested in doing it, you'd just pop up and say motion to extend. Councillor Hodgson makes a motion to extend question period. Councillor Mills, yes?
How many names are on the list?
There are currently three names on the list. Councillor Hodgson has a motion to extend for 15 minutes. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Speakman. That's the suspension of rules, so no debate, requires two-thirds majority vote. All those in favour? Those opposed? Okay, let's do that once more. All those in favour? All those opposed? I'm going to figure out my math here. I don't think that passes. No. That fails 11 to 8. So it requires two-thirds majority. With that, we will carry on to item 6A. Speakman Zhang moves the Students' Council on the recommendation of the Elections Review Committee approve Bill number 3 in first reading based on the following principle. The deadline for the nomination of candidates in any by-election shall occur not less than 9 days prior to the election. Councillor Speakman to introduce.
Certainly. The purpose of this motion, or I guess a meeting, is that 9 days prior to the election puts the nomination deadline on a Tuesday. In a subsequent section of the same bylaw that this is found in, it says 9 days, and the question, the section in question currently says 11 days, which would put the deadline on a Sunday afternoon. That's my introduction.
Thank you. Any debate?
Yep.
Councilor Speakman.
So that is a slight discrepancy in the bylaw. It doesn't make sense to us. I think that it's probably just a typo, but since it is making a change to the actual content of the bylaw, then we brought it here to council.
Any further debate?
Can we have a question?
Yeah, you can. Well, you can use your turn of debate to just sort of throw a question out there. So, Councillor Binchik?
Sure. So, Chloe, or Councillor Speakman, is there any reason for shortening the time frame to 9 days instead of lengthening, for example, to 13 days? So that...
So, it explicitly states at least 9 days. So they can make the deadline 15 days, 20 days, as long as it's no less than that.
Okay, further debate? Governor Kelly?
This may be a moot question, but I suppose the stipulation of 11 days, that I guess it is currently written by law, it doesn't stipulate anywhere that that's business days or that's just days in total, doesn't include weekends. I'm sure that was accounted for, but just, I guess, as a curiosity.
Further debate, Councillor Speakman?
Yeah, so the bylaw, it just says days, so I interpret that as including the weekend, since it doesn't explicitly say business days. And yeah, as Harley was saying, it's still open to the CRO's planning of that process, so it's just no less than 9 days. I just want to make sure that I communicated clearly that the bylaw currently has two sections. One says 9 days, and this one says 11. I don't know. It's in there already as 9 days, and we thought within IRC that that the 11 days didn't really make sense because it lands on the weekend.
Thank you. Further debate, Governor Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the response. May I just perhaps recommend to her that at some point just formalize what is days specified? Because my only worry would be that in other potential places in bylaw, perhaps not election related, there would be a business days, whereas in other places it might But just for formalization's sake, as a recommendation, it might be useful to think about that at some point. But just an idea.
Thank you. And I'm going to pretend there was a point of parliamentary inquiry attached on there, just because, and please don't make me dig it up, but I believe somewhere there is a die board ruling that dealt with that precise issue that I believe clarified that days referred to days, unless it indicates business days, or another phrase that's used in elections bylaws is working hours that define a certain set of hours. But again, I don't know where it is right now, but you're welcome to dig it up in the die board archives or inquire with me further if you'd like clarification on where that is. With that, floor is open to debate still. Seeing no debate, we will call to question. All those in favor of item 6A? Any opposed? That motion is carried, so it will be referred to Bylaw Committee for drafting. With that, we're at the end of our order paper, so I vote favorably on a motion to adjourn. Councillor Gruelke, seconded by Councillor Nguyen. Thank you very much. All those in favor? Those opposed? That motion carries after we do attendance. President Kuzma.
Present.
Vice President Chellen.
Present.
Vice President Woods. Vice President Lay.
Present.
Vice President Lau.
Present.
Governor Kelly.
Present.
Councillor Patel.
Present.
Councillor Gordon. Councillor Mills.
Present.
Councillor Hanwell.
Present.
Councillor Bannister.
Present.
Councillor Schiavone. Councillor Mohammed.
Present.
Councillor Gruelke.
Present.
Councillor Minarski. Councillor Minarski's here.
Present.
Yeah, anyways. Councillor Redman. Or sorry, Councillor Valdez. Councillor Corbett. Councillor Redman.
Present.
Councillor Hamid.
Present.
Councillor Morris.
Present.
Councillor Nguyen.
Present.
Is here. Councillor Champagne. Councillor Speakman.
Present.
Councillor Hodgson. Councillor Hodgson's here as well.
Yeah.
Councillor Huang. Councillor Zhang.
Yeah.
Councillor Graham. Councillor Binchik.
Here.
Councillor Douglas.
Yeah.
And I am here. We are adjourned at 8:32. Thank you very much. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Take some pizza. We got lots
left. Can I have everyone's paper plate, please?